At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
I really like the mum, mum, mum at the end of it. Mum, mum,
mum. Warming up my voice.
Mom. Well, welcome to the podcast, and now we are live.
So much love.
Hi, everyone. How is everything going today? I'm feeling good.
Your eyeballs say so much, Paul.
So we have a debate going on. Can you pick up your pocketbook for a second?
No one knows what that is.
Yes. Okay.
I will pick up my
purse. I'm from New England. I call this a pocketbook.
It's a purse.
Okay. You might call it a purse. But in New England, we call it a pocketbook. Well, and sometimes we put our khakis in there. And see, Stacey's wearing a Boston hat today. So I said, if you're going to...
I'm on the Boston wall.
Yeah, but if you're going to be a Boston fan, I guess you have to have your khakis in the pocketbook.
You just
wear your dungarees,
you really
not wearing
like
sneakers. But you have to, be wicked cool. Be wicked cool, kid.
Be wicked cool.
Be wicked cool, kid. All right.
But I can't talk like a Bostonian. Yeah.
Okay, so we all thought that none of that made any sense. What is it that when coming to, I know, the Midwest,
yes,
what threw you off? I mean,
the sex. Opposites.
Sex.
Would you like a bag?
It was a bag, yeah.
Yeah.
When they say when you
S-A-C-K.
Want
to... S-A-C-K.
A sack. Yeah, well, the problem was is that I went to a Blockbuster. I know that's a long time ago. And they said, we'd like a sack with that. And I'm like, excuse me? Because sack in Boston is something completely different than what you guys talk about here. So okay. It's just...
The one that threw my wife off, who's originally from Arizona, is chili and cinnamon rolls together.
Just, yeah, that's the way...
That's weird, too.
No. Nuh-uh. I can still picture elementary school and the bowl of chili and the giant cinnamon roll covered with the white frosting.
We didn't have frosting on ours.
Well, you weren't nearly as cool as we were.
I'm okay without the white frosting.
Nope. We also had still burritos delicious. Covered in nacho cool cheese.
Nope, never been a cool kid.
Nope. Mm. No.
Cool, that's okay. Do you remember that song? My God loves me anyway.
Yep.
That was my best friend's favorite song. She would crank it up as we drove around.
And she would be like living that song out as she drove around.
Yep. I'm not cool.
Love you, Emily.
I'm living that song out.
Yeah.
I'm going to live this out. Speaking of not living it out, we're missing somebody today.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
There it is. Hi, Lacey. Are you out there?
We miss you. We miss you. Miss you a lot.
I miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're feeling okay.
Lacey had a oops today.
Lacey had an ouchies.
Yeah, ouchies. But not a Fauci ouchie, just a different ouchie.
Just a different ouchie.
She's resting and healing, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I almost thought you said like she's resting in peace, and I was like, no, not quite. Not there.
Hopefully, peacefully.
She will
resting.
Be
peacefully
back on resting. The podcast.
Eventually. Yes.
Eventually.
Eventually. Hopefully. Well, you know.
I don't know. She won't have to walk while on the podcast, but we'll have to sit, and both of those are difficult.
Yeah. What we should have done is put the camera on this empty chair and be like, Lacey, this is...
Rest your in chair, peace.
Or we could have had her call in and try and...
Yeah. I was thinking that, but then again, I was like, I don't know if she wants to do that either.
No. So,
all right. So, how are you guys doing today?
Who are you talking to? You're talking to the people out in podcast.
No,
land.
I'm talking to you.
If
I want to talk to them, I'll talk to them directly and say,
I thought that's what you did.
You. We want you to call in and say hi.
Yes.
Or Facebook comment in and say hi.
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
Why is that?
Well, it's August. What is it? Two? Three. Third. August 3rd. We're like getting ready to go back to school. I love this time. Teachers started meeting. It's just a good time. Everybody's excited for the year. I'm excited because I got some buddies that are hanging out with me a little bit more in the office. Like
Mr. Greg Rathke started a little bit.
I was thinking Kermit the Frog.
But, no. So I did. I had to text him one day because I walked past. I walked and I looked and I saw Holly, who is doing a fantastic job leading the school right now. But I looked in the office and I went, oh, she's not going to talk football with me. So I had to text Greg and I said, because he was coming over that afternoon to talk about stuff. I was like, I can't wait till there's another guy in here. And it was good. We talked football for too long.
You just wander the halls and look for somebody football.
So let's mental note on what Caster Gerber does during the day. Now we
very
know.
Very much noted.
So Stacey, how are you doing today?
I'm tired today.
Just today though.
I did get a little nap before we came over.
That's the reason why you're tired.
Just, you know, we've had a good summer. I've been hanging out with the kids all day, every day, and I'm just a little weary from that, but we've done a lot of fun things. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to have a little more quiet time in our house next week, so I like quiet time.
Is next week school?
Wednesday. 1 week and 1 day, 8 days from today, we've got school.
So
school.
We've been trying to pack as much as we can into these last couple weeks, so it's a little more activity than I prefer, but trying to make the memories.
Make the memories, not just memories. The memories.
Yep. Yes, the big ones.
The one that you remember the first time that consciously comes to your brain because you can't remember anything before that first memory. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have an age that you can just remember the first thing that you can think of?
No.
One.
What?
True story.
When you were one?
Yeah.
You were one?
Yeah. True story. Because I confirmed it from photo albums we had because it was on a kiddie coaster at Worlds of Fun in Kansas City, and I was describing what that was, and there were pictures of it that they had taken while I was on the ride. My parents had, and I was like, yeah, I remember doing that. And so
I bet you just saw the picture and implanted the memory.
I can remember.
That does happen.
It was, so this was part that what it wasn't in the picture. The part of it was like this caterpillar that went through an apple tunnel, and the apple tunnel was not in the picture at all. So, but I remember going through that tunnel there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But memory is one of the gifts I have. I don't claim to have a lot, but I've got that.
Speaking of gifts, what do you, you have a good week?
Yeah. It's been exciting.
Why? Tell. Tell us why.
It's my birthday week.
Oh, yes. That's what we were thinking.
Yes. Right.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
You did say gifts.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Gifts.
Officially got the call to be Trinity's next director of Christian education. So
now he's sitting here deliberating. Yeah. So we're going to work on him tonight.
Yeah,
deliberating.
Yeah. It's one of those with this being a call not only issued, as we believe in the LCMS, by God, but also by the people of Trinity. I take that incredibly seriously. So I want to make sure that, you know, that it is absolutely 100% clear from God. Like it's a thing I don't take lightly, but it did get me very excited. So
I missed you. I don't know where you snuck in from, but I was like standing there with the call documents just waiting for you to come in, and then you snuck past me, so then I had to go find you.
I was talking to a youth.
Good job. You're already practicing your job.
Now, speaking of that, you're talking about taking it seriously and making sure that it is. We should probably do our reading then, because this is kind of our conversation today. Right?
Stacy did not bring her pink Bible.
I forgot my pink Bible.
So she's going to read it in the real version today.
The ESV. It might not come as naturally, because this is not the version I'm used to, but I'll do my best.
Ephesians
3. You said starting in verse 14.
Verse 14, yeah.
Right?
This Sunday we read all of chapter 3 because we're reading through all of Ephesians, but yeah, let's read verses 14 through 21.
From that screen.
Good, it's bigger than your phone.
All right. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
I didn't want to interrupt in the middle of the reading, but is there like weird letters?
So
there?
The reason for that, yes, those should be like superscript or subscript, but that, if that's a copy and paste, it's from saying like, oh, X, okay, look down below. There's a note on the word the riches, or
I see verse 20, your inner. I now to J him.
Yes. So yeah. Those,
it's not like that on mine, but
those might be hyperlinked. I don't know. Is this biblia.com? Is that what you have? Those might be hyperlinked. If you click on the I, click on the letter.
Yeah, there it is right there. Yes.
Yep. Romans. So it must be when you zoomed in, it must have done something goofy with it.
Yes.
But yeah, that's what those letters are there.
That's hilarious. I just thought it was like I now, like iPod, but
yeah. I now to Jim.
It's like the Bible is really like forcing that Apple symbolism.
All right. So what do you guys, as you see those words, hear those words, what sticks out to you in that section there?
I know. Jim.
What sticks out? The spelling errors based on the... I mean,
it is hard to read like that.
Okay. Without the hyperlinks
issue
that showed up goofy, what sticks out to you from Ephesians 3?
Science. So to me, verse 20, and I know it in the NIV, so I'm going
to
read it.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine.
Yes, that. That's a phrase that I've spun around in my mind a lot over my faith journey. That immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And Anthony and I kind of talked about this last night. I don't feel like, to me, that phrase implies something big and miraculous. Like God has saved me in this miraculous way. He healed me in a way, or he brought me back to life when I should have been dead. Like, to me, that's immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. And I haven't had anything to that level in my life that I would have categorized as that. But as I was watering our plants the other day, I have this planter that 2 years ago I planted these annuals in. And the last two summers, these plants were not supposed to come back. They're just supposed to get one season out of them. And the last two summers, there's been this one plant that comes back from them. And it has these beautiful bright pink flowers on it. And the last two summers, I just remember being surprised by that. And the bright color of it, I just love. So it's kind of like a highlight of my day when I go out there. I'm like, you shouldn't be there, but you are. And I like it. And I was just thinking about this, like, that is immeasurably more than I could have asked from that plant. I've never imagined that I'd get 3 years of joy from this plant. And maybe this is silly, but then it got me thinking on these little kind of mundane things that I tend to categorize as just kind of a normal everyday experience, that when I think about it, this is clearly God's hand and power at work that I couldn't have orchestrated otherwise. Yes, this was a plant that grew where it shouldn't. It's insignificant to some, but that is showing what God can do when God chooses to do it. So then just thinking through these, what are other instances in my life and in our life where we have seen God do way more than we ever would have imagined. And today I was thinking, even living in Fremont, as soon as Anthony and I moved away from Nebraska, we both very strongly wanted to end up back in Nebraska after he was done with seminary, and we spent some time away, and it just was very strong in our hearts that we wanted to be back in Nebraska. And so when the call came to Fremont, we deliberated. We had another call to Nebraska, and it wasn't the right fit for our family, and we didn't want to just jump in. This is where we want to be. So let's go.
First call to Nebraska. Let's go.
Yeah. So we deliberated that, and we're like, you know, it is in Nebraska, but it's not the best fit for who we are as a family and what Anthony's gifts are in ministry. So we declined that call. And then the call to Fremont came, and Anthony was really excited about it. I was 38 weeks pregnant. And I'm like, at this point, I'm just kind of going to leave this to you and God. I will go where you go. But I don't think I was in on the interview. I didn't come visit because it was a 2-day trip.
Come on. Why didn't you come visit?
I don't even think you stopped, did you? You maybe
stopped
once.
No, I stopped on the way back because I had a huge thunderstorm in Chicago on the way back. I felt a little bit like Martin Luther.
So I just felt like I was kind of coming in blindly. And he's like, oh, the school is great. God's really doing a lot of good things here in Fremont. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll go. But even looking back on these, now we've been here for 4 years, and just seeing the friendships, the relationships, the opportunity in ministry and leadership and growth, like what God is doing here and has done in our family through this time is way more than I ever could have imagined. So sometimes I think that immeasurably more is those kind of small things that I take for granted, but clearly is God working a much bigger picture.
Well, and it's sometimes you don't see that until you look at it in reverse. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes if it's a trial or a difficult point in your life, you get so caught in just taking to the next step. You know, sometimes you're just swimming to survive. So, you know, I can totally understand that. And just taking the opportunity to reflect on mine and my wife's life since since we got connected with Trinity, for her, this is now her, this will be the,
it's her fourth year.
No, this will be
her fifth year. She's been here 4 years. Yep. Yeah.
So, and all of our connections at Trinity, it's amazing how God has used that. And, you know, it's blessed her, blessed me. And, you know, of course, you know, incredibly thankful to the people of Trinity. It's a blessing I could have never called in my life. But also, it's amazing how God provided in each step of those ways too. Whether it was the congregation, or sometimes it was the staff, sometimes it was the volunteers. It was amazing how God knew exactly what I needed when I needed it. And if some of those gifts had come at a different time, I might not have needed them or appreciated them like I did when God provided them. So,
do you guys have, because I got to ask the hard questions, do you guys feel that it's, when you're talking about the moments of when you moved to Nebraska, I mean Fremont specifically, and now what you're talking about, in the midst of all that change, did you recognize that God's handiwork was still working, even though you were afraid of the move because of pregnancy? And because the reason I'm asking that is, like, real easy to look back in time and go, look at all the work that God did,
right,
versus in the moment. And kind of thinking of this now, with our cohort sitting in bed because she's hurt,
is
she now currently going, I'm being suffering for some reason, is God working in her life?
Here's God's hand.
Well, and of course, we can always look back. I mean, later on, she'll go, well, I really needed that rest, or whatever the reason is. I don't know what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Or something else might happen because of it. Right. But
I think for me at that point, since it was the call process, like, we'd prayed about it, we talked about it. In that instance, I struggled with that. Okay, now we're in a new place and I don't know anybody, and what's this going to look like? But I did have the assurance that this is where God has put us right now. So I didn't question that, but there was still that, what is this going to look like feeling.
And then a few months in, we got the word that there's going to be an Aldi built in Fremont. And then it was like, oh, okay, we were meant to be here.
Well, that was a God moment for me too, which is really goofy.
So,
but
one of the weird, and it's, again, so the thing that I like, and we don't often get to this part, but you know, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, to him be the glory. And it's easy, you know, in some of these big things or the little things, to chalk them up to coincidences, or, oh, that's a nifty little thing. But to give God glory for some of those things. And so as we were getting ready to move, we'd started that previous summer with our oldest doing some allergy treatments, specific ones. They're weird. It's called NAET, N-A-E-T. Look it up, read about it. It's weird. I'll just be very blunt. It's weird. But it uses muscle testing and acupressure and then strict avoidance of certain allergens. And we were driving, at that time, we were driving about an hour and a half each way to Valparaiso, Indiana, because that was the closest doctor that did this. And we were seeing great results already in just the few weeks that we were doing that. And as we got ready to, as we were considering this call, one of the things we did was to look for doctors in the area. How far would we have to drive? Could we get a little closer? Well, there are only two doctors in the state of Nebraska that
are certified,
and they're both in Fremont.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Well,
that's nice.
Because I'm thinking like Omaha. There's
right.
Be
yeah.
Someone
okay.
With,
Omaha. Yeah. No.
An hour and a half of Omaha. We
can do that. And again, that's where you can go like, oh, that's a nice coincidence, or no. To actually be able to say, okay, God has done something special here. Let's give God glory for that. Thank him for that. Praise him for that. And I think that's where I want to not move past this, but it's easy to get caught in the, well, God can do great, huge things, or God can do what we think are at the time insignificant or little things. But it's easy to just move past them or to look back and go, oh, that was nice. But to actually stop and give glory to God, whether it's just, you know, privately, thank you, but also publicly, to be able to, you know, say that God has done something special, rather than, you know, just how we phrase it, rather than, well, that was nifty. You know, that was nice that this happened. What a great coincidence.
Nifty is a word everybody uses.
Nifty glifty.
Well, and it's amazing not only how God works through situations, but also what astounded me in my 2 years of being at Trinity is how God has worked through his people here. And talking about what you need when you need it. I remember my first day of doing anything at Trinity was July 31st. So it was about 2 years ago.
July 31st.
Yes. Because the reason I remember that is my call in Omaha ended on July 31st. And when a call ends, it can be a draining process to tie everything up, get it handed off to the next person. And so I was kind of done for the day. I kind of wanted, you know, just a little time back for a week or two. But the Trinity Praise team was having...
Are you going to blame me for this?
No. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But they're having a meeting that night, and Tara was like, you know, you might have a connection here. You don't have to do anything. Just come to this meeting. I was like, well, I mean, it had been a long day, so I wasn't the most enthused about doing something.
And you guys lived in Omaha at the time.
Yeah, so that was we had to drive to Omaha, and then that meant driving back. So me wasn't the most thrilled that night, but within 5 minutes of coming in through the doors, you know, the Praise team made just me feel so welcome. And it was one of those, like, it was like, that was exactly what I needed at that moment. It was just a family of faith just around me to support me. And so, yeah, I do blame you for that, Paul.
Thanks a lot, Paul, for being welcoming.
I just had a meeting.
Such.
Yeah, but it was amazing how people cared. And of course, I appreciate people caring all the time. Like it, but that was the moment when it rang the most true. Like God worked that night, and it's what got me. I would have been excited to do high school ministry no matter what at Trinity, but that was like, you know, they care. I want to care back with them because this family invests in each other, and that's, I describe Trinity like that a lot, as a family.
I think the biggest question I have, we talk about the work that God does, and we're talking about in the moment, and whether or not, one, if we're actually able to connect with that to see how he's working, or are we resisting it because it's not what we think this should be happening?
Yeah.
And two, are we able to recognize in the midst of whatever's going on, whether or not it's good like Casey's or what's going on with Lacey right now, are we able to see what's going on and be able to still thank God during that moment? I'm bringing that up is because we have a tendency to go, oh, well, look how good God was.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like, right this moment, I know that I'm in pain or suffering, but I know that God's going to abundantly, what's the word?
Immeasurably more
in this situation than I'm even thinking about, because in the moment I am in pain or I am going through this fog or whatever, and not, and do we have enough faith or trust that God is going to be immeasurably more in that moment?
Well, and that was, it made me think of something a Christian comedian said, because it's a phrase Christians use a lot when good or almost unexplainably good things happen to them. Like, it's a God thing. Like, you know, this lined up perfectly. It's a God thing. But it seems like we only say that when the good and exceptionally good show up. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, when it seems like, you know, the clouds open and like just bad stuff pours down, quote unquote bad stuff, you know, we're not going, oh, that man.
That's such a God thing.
Man, snapping, breaking my toes right now, which did happen to me once coming off a trip. I broke 3 toes and I wasn't sitting there in pain on the floor. I wasn't going, oh man, that's a God thing. Yeah. You know, it's
heinous.
Yeah, but, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, instead we say this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And we also think that's in the Bible, which it's not. That is not a Bible verse.
But no, yeah, that's a good question. Are we able to look at and see those things even when they're not good? Because, you know, we'll also, the other thing, well, you know, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Mm-hmm. We say that.
There's a song like that.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it because it's repetitive.
But we say that for the good things. Mm-hmm. We don't say that when, you know, the house is on fire. Mm-hmm. It's just.
Yeah, I think the problem is that we're, and I'm even questioning whether or not we can see it, even in the good things happening in the moment. I think we're always looking back 2020, or sorry, 10-20, like your 2010,
whatever, but, you know,
2010. Looking back and saying, oh yeah, look at all the great things God did, instead of going in the moment right now, just take a second and look at what's happening right now. Because I think you and I got, not an argument, but we got in a discussion of what did you say, God-sized dreams were. Yep. And I was like, well, of course he's going to do that. And you're like, right. Well, because I'm thinking world peace, and you're like, no, flowers coming out of a flower bed every week. It's not wrong. I'm just saying that we are God-sized dream that we're, it's different perspectively.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think even Lacey was brought up the whole, like, she's on the same wavelength as me saying, oh yeah, I'm thinking world peace. Though, you know, because in my brain, it's like, well, that is only going to happen through God.
And I'm thinking like, a bunch of people gathering together to go make food to give to homeless people and talk about Jesus. Like, that's huge.
Yeah. And then Stacey comes in and blows our minds going, no, I saw a plant.
I saw a flower.
Which is,
I saw a flower in my flower bed.
You know, we're sitting there going, well, yeah, of course. But really, that is actually a very good point, because we're sitting there going, even that is amazing.
Even the sunrise, like the sun coming up every day. And that's like, that's, we just expect it. So we get used to it. But you know, your grass that dies every winter
comes back
and be like, all right, hey, I'm back. What's up?
Unless,
miss me?
Unless your dog pees on it all winter.
Then it's green all year. Well,
and the one that, like the thing I probably, like just our bodies functioning, like I don't have to think and make my heart beat. It just goes until one day it doesn't. Yeah. But I've never once had to think there, okay, I've got to make dinner. I've got to make sure this is ready. And I got to make sure my heart keeps beating. Like, yeah. God, like, and how many times.
You would never think about anything else.
Yeah.
If you had to think about breathing, you had to think about your heart breathing.
Yep. I mean, all the muscles that it takes just to move, to take a step.
Yeah. If you had to think about everything, one of those things, and that would be incredibly hard. You wouldn't be able to do almost anything, because you would be concentrating so much on that. Amazing.
Yeah.
Again, God-sized dreams.
Yeah.
No, I just a thought, because sometimes I feel like we forget, and maybe just, I'm saying we, but I sometimes forget just all the little things that needs to happen for a specific thing to happen.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen like the causal effect thing? It's just like, because this bird flapped its wing at this
moment. The
butterfly
effect. Yeah.
Well, that has to do with
movie.
Has to do with past events, but you get the idea. Because of that, these things come into play.
Yeah.
And we don't see those connections. We'll never know that the bird flapped at that moment in time to cause this leaf to fall at that moment. So the squirrel jumps off, hits the acorn that falls on the piano key that scares the cat. That, I mean, we could sing a song like, isn't there a song like that?
There was like an old lady. So this is one that Stacey and I were, when we were talking last night about this, one thing that I just always, one of those big events that I go back to that I didn't, in the moment, didn't realize, but I started to realize later. It wasn't like I had to look back years to see it. But we were living in Michigan. Stacey's, was it Thanksgiving? Stacey was going back to, you were going back to your family for Thanksgiving, Christmas, somewhere in there. But I think we had two kids and one on the way.
I don't remember.
Whatever.
That time of my life we had two kids.
I don't know if we had one on the way or there's third, but
not much sleep.
We met halfway in Iowa City. We spent the night, and in the overnight it just dumped snow and so ice. Snow and ice. Yeah. So I'm getting ready to get up and get going and it's just snowing like crazy. I'm like, I just want to try and get ahead of this as much as I can. So I get up, I go, it is horrible driving. I'm driving like 35, 40 down the interstate, and 45 minutes or an hour into this drive, Stacy calls and says, you took the wrong bag with you. Oh, I'd left all of my toiletries at the hotel and I'd taken Stacy's bag with me. And so I'm not happy. Not with anybody. I'm mad at myself, but this has been such a hard drive for the last 45 minutes. And now I've got to turn around and drive back through it and then drive through it again. But I get back. I'm trying to calm myself down. I was doing okay. But I get back and what happened was I actually got behind the entire storm. And so the rest of the drive home, it took twice as long as it should have because all the accidents were in front of me. So I had to keep slowing down at all the places where there was hidden ice on the interstate because somebody else had, I think there was a 13 semi accident in front of me. Like very easily should have been in the middle of that had I taken the right bag. So those are those things that you look back. But then somebody else asked the question, well, what about all those semis that were in that accident? Or, we got to celebrate that Pastor Hoyer's cancer has gotten better. He had his last scan this past week, the spots on his lungs are gone. His leg is getting better. We got to celebrate that. And then after the service, I had a member say, well, yeah, but what about my daughter who just passed away from cancer? Why did God heal his but not hers? And that's where, one of the things I talked about was we pray thy kingdom come. We pray God do these big things. Send your kingdom here that your kingdom would grow and multiply, even thy kingdom come at Jesus' return to make all things new. But right after that, we pray thy will be done. So we do want to pray boldly that big things would happen, that God would do huge things but at the same time, we have to realize that God's plan is not always what we want it to be. There will be difficult times. And we know that suffering produces endurance and endurance produces character and character produces hope and hope does not put us to shame. Mm-hmm. So like, having a perfect life where everything goes smoothly and we have no struggles, that might be a me-sized dream, but that's not a God-sized dream, because that doesn't grow character. That doesn't grow hope. I don't need to hope in Jesus, because from the outside looking in, I don't need him, mm-hmm. but I do.
Well, and when we pray for, whether it's, you know, small, big, anything in between, when we put that request before God, part of having faith is, I think there's a twofold part of that. It's believing that God certainly can do everything we ask of him, but also we have to have the faith of accepting that even if it doesn't go that way, God is still working through this whole story. And one of my favorite biblical accounts to go to when I am stuck in those moments is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were three gentlemen when the nation of Israel was under rule of Babylon. There was a command given that they had to bow to the king's statue. They did not, and they were also high-ranking members of the court, so the king is not going to let this get away. So the penalty was death by burning in the fiery furnace. And the king gives them one last chance. And I'm going to misquote it probably a little here. It's me. I'm going to misquote it. But, you know, he says, all you have to do is, you know, bow to me once, and you don't have to face this. And one of them speaks up and says, oh, king, we know our God is powerful enough that he can protect us against your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we will still do what he commands and not bow to you. And of course, you know, they are thrown in the furnace and God does protect them. And of course, that speaks to the power that God has, you know, that immeasurably more. People don't survive that. So don't go trying this at home, kids.
The people that threw them in the furnace were close enough that they were killed because it was so hot.
But at the same time, we have to brace that thy will be done. And if for some reason what I want doesn't happen and the worst case scenario does happen, we have to take a deep breath and understand that God is God and we're not. And God has everything under control, because our goal isn't to live the best life on earth. Our goal is not to make it to the biggest house. You know, hopefully, you know,
big house
with lots and lots of rooms. But if that's our goal in life, 99% of us will be incredibly disappointed. Our goal as Christians is heaven. And although this life can be bitter and disappoint us deeply, heaven is the hope and heaven is our goal. And that means sometimes bracing those moments when the even if becomes true, that God didn't answer my request the way I would have had it done. And that takes a measure of faith. And
The second half of verse 20 says, according to his power that is at work within us. And that was something that stuck out to me too, is while he's doing this work, this more than we can imagine, his power is still working in us to move us forward in understanding, in pushing through some very hard things. We're not doing it powerless, because we have his spirit in us to enable us to not get through it, not necessarily get over it, not necessarily that it's going to get easier, but that we have his power and his presence with us, regardless of what comes, and more than we can imagine. We're not left alone through any of that either.
I think also one of the hardest things when you face those darker moments, I think one of the ways Satan loves to attack us is, if I had just done more, if I had prayed a little more, if I had loved God, if I had done what he commanded just a little bit more, you know, maybe he would have listened to me better. You know, maybe my request would have been heard. And of course, we get thy will be done from the Lord's prayer. But the other time it's really key in the life of Christ is the night before he's crucified. And, you know, if you look at the details of crucifixion, no one would want to go through that no matter what. And so Jesus is God, but Jesus is also human. So he's dreading what's coming. And so he prays in the garden, you know, that this challenge, this cup, as he describes it, is taken away from him. Yet not my will, but your will be done, is what he says. And what happens there is Jesus is part of the Trinity. Jesus is God. But God the Father says to his perfect son, no. Like, sometimes the answer will be no. And if God had said yes to Jesus, if God had said, oh, you know what, we'll take a pass on the cross, what happens then is none of us are saved. Like, part of God's plan was to have Jesus suffer like that. So that meant, for God's promise that he gave us, that the answer that night would be no. And I wish I could say what God is doing in each and every one of our lives. I wish I could tell someone how, you know, this tragic car accident or insert awful thing here is going to play out. I don't. But that's where faith comes in, to know that he's God and we're not, and that he's perfect, and our imperfectness has to muscle through that sometimes.
Yep.
word.
Those are two of my favorite. When I'm struggling, those are two of my favorite Bible passages to repeatedly pull up. So they mean a lot to me, so I get a little passionate when I talk about them.
Yeah.
So what do you guys have an example of a time that you felt that your will and God's will were not in line?
I mean,
this happens all the time.
To keep talking about the call process, that first when we went through the first call at a seminary, Stacy and I would have loved to go back to come back to Lincoln. I did work at Christ in Lincoln. They were calling a youth person at that time. I interviewed with them the day after that. I interviewed with my vicarage congregation, which I absolutely loved. It was family there. We loved it. And we kind of knew, we kind of got to the point, all right, we're not going to Lincoln. They interviewed, but it really, they're not looking for a pastor. They're looking for a DCE, not going back there. But then we go, I said, but that means then we'll go back to Orchard Park. It'll be a great place. It'll be great. We'll love it. When we finally both got to that point in our heads, that next morning, the pastor there called and said, hey, we just want you to know that...
Is this Lincoln or Orchard Park?
This is the Orchard Park pastor. He called and said, hey, we just want you to know, we know how much you guys love Lincoln, how much you want to be near your family, so we have taken you off of our call list. And I just like, that's kind of all I could do is go,
And like one of the guys on the committee, he said, if you were my daughter and somebody called you that far away from me, I just would be so upset. I couldn't do that to you and to your family. So then I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have been so outspoken about wanting to go back to Nebraska. Like, what yeah. have I done?
We ruined this.
We've ruined God's plan.
But so
you ruined God's plan.
Yep, yeah. Yep. That's
your thinking in that moment. It's like,
and so, I literally couldn't say anything. I couldn't say, like, no, here's the situation. I just could not speak.
Just kidding. Take me back.
And so then, like, we hung up after me not saying anything. And I told Stacy, and I'm like, I got to call him back. I got to tell him. I got to talk. Stacy's like, no, can't call him back. Call process. And I was mad. Like, no, I'm calling. No, you can't call. And then, like, after that, then I got a call from the placement director saying, oh, we have not found a fit for you in team ministry. So we are going to we're planning on putting you in this really small congregation in the southern Minneapolis area. And I'm like, what?
No.
Stacy, now can I call Nate? No. And then we had this, and then this other congregation, I got a call from the placement director. Hey, there's a congregation that wants to interview. Do you want to interview? I know it's late. I'm like, well, if it's between where or this other church, or yes, let's interview. And we got to Michigan, and we struggled there at times being far away from family, which we would have been twice as far away from family in New York. I think we went to like three of our grandparents' funerals in the first four months that we were there, or something like that.
Well, one before we moved.
But. Oh yeah. So like, wouldn't have been able to come back for those probably if we had been in New York, but we were able to drive back for them from Michigan. Just all these little things that we go like, okay, all right, I guess I can kind of see it. But at that time I was mad at you. And I didn't tell Nate this until the Orchard Park pastor until like 3 years later or something. And he just glared at me when he heard this. Like, he was super happy with you, Stacy, also. Because they ended up not getting a pastor either.
Yeah, Stacy, why'd you go and ruin God's plan?
I know, right?
It's the call process. I feel like Casey would be on my team too. It's the call process.
Yeah, that's...
You got to respect the process.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. Like, it's... I think I know what God is saying, and I think it's obvious, but I'm like, nope, I
no,
got I'm, it.
I know it's obvious. Let's go.
Yeah.
You can make your announcement right now. No, just kidding.
Keep praying. My will.
Oh, not my will. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's amazing. It's going through the call process. It is. I describe it this way. It is at the same time one of the most exhilarating and most miserable experiences at the same time. Because on one hand, you're excited. What God could be doing. But then you also like there's this little hint of you have to discern what God's will is.
Do the right thing.
And it's like, yeah. Oh my,
I feel heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. He might ruin his plan. So
yes, yep. Yes, I am incredibly powerful enough that
I mean, if you want, get some advice from Stacy, and that might help you ruin God's plan.
Not being one to go through a call process. I did have a similar situation when I was doing my internship.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about this before about how I was set up to go to do my internship in Concord, New Hampshire, and I figured I'd stay home, travel up to Concord every day, which is about 40 minutes. And there you go. And about 3 months before I was supposed to start, they called me up and said, hey, this is closed because the person doing it left. And then I had to find a new internship. And the way that they did the internships for the music therapy program was you can only do 3 places at a time. And so I looked at Sacramento, California, and Pennsylvania, and then Osawatomie, Kansas.
Osawatomie, Kansas.
And Osawatomie, Kansas got back to me right away. And we had a phone interview before the other two even sent me the applications, because I reached out and they're supposed to send an application, you're supposed to fill it out, whatever. They emailed me the application in Osawatomie, and I was able to have a phone interview, and I got basically hired as the intern for this place in Osawatomie, Kansas. Now, the reason why I bring up the question is whether or not you can discernment. You guys have this process of discernment, which I think is good. I didn't have that. That's the reason why I bring up, do you know what's going on in the moment? Because at the time, I was like, oh, I'm going to leave everybody and everything that I know and move to Kansas, where I know
great state
nobody. Nobody, like not even like one person. And I'm not only going to be living in not a city, but a place with a population of like 120 people. And then live at the mental hospital. And I had no idea what was going on.
I'm moving to Kansas. That's, I'm going to live in the mental hospital.
Not right. That's not when people say like, oh, God is good. Like,
that's why I'm wondering, like you have this call process. You're asked to discern this. I mean, to really think about it. And I think that's what's missing in normal everyday, because during that time, it wasn't, I guess I could have waited for the other applications that I sent out to come in and go through that process of interviewing and all that. But it was just that quick with Osawatomie. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm going to Osawatomie, Kansas. And because of that, I mean, of course, I met Lori and the story goes on from there, but I didn't know that at the time.
Well, and it makes me think of my internship as a DCE. You do a year-long internship before you can officially be full-time called, and I went to an awesome place, Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Indianola, Iowa. Shout out to y'alls.
Woo.
They were on the, so this was around the time Tara and I had been dating for several months at this point, but she hadn't been out to visit my congregation yet, because it was over Christmas break that they were going to decide whether they were going to go full-time DCE or get another intern. Like they were really wrestling with this, and I loved that congregation, still do to this day. Awesome place. And so I was really praying, God, I hope this goes full time. I hope I can be the guy, this will be great. And I remember the day, it was January 10th. Pastor, after the voters meeting, pulls me into his office. He goes, we believe God has made it evident that we're going to go with another intern. And, and it's like, ugh, like, I can't believe what, this is what I wanted. I thought it was a puzzle piece fit. I don't see what's going on here. And then it became evident for several reasons. Number one, when I got my call to Omaha, it honestly was a better fit. God worked through that situation, but Tara wound up being my bride. But what we found out is she visited about 2 months later on her spring break for the first time, and we discovered, I kid you not, she was allergic to the water of Indianola. There was something in it that just created horrible allergic reactions.
Tara's listening. Thanks for listening, Tara.
But, and it's like, if I got what I wanted there, as I had planned it out, I would have accepted a call, and, probably, the way I try to conduct myself is it would have been at least a couple years. I don't know how we would,
Been killing Tara at the same time. Right.
Yes. She could have done Nate treatments.
Oh, but the only two doctors in the area are in Fremont.
Well, I don't know about it. We didn't check Iowa.
Well, I mean, Indianola is only like 2 hours away from Fremont. So, as I was trying to write that story real time, I didn't see what was going on. But God worked through that entire process to get us where we were. And then by me being in Omaha, it got Tara connected with Trinity. And then referencing the story I told at the beginning of the podcast, when I needed some encouragement, Tara's connection at Trinity then helped me. It was through this whole process, God is always a couple steps ahead. But each of those processes to get for both of us to those places was an exercise in faith. Yeah. Each one of them.
Yeah. I think
as you're talking about, there's no call process for the non-church worker.
Well, I'm just saying there's no...
Right. It's we're not that actively, official. Right.
Yeah, we should be. We should be discerning. Yeah. We should be going, okay,
and
God, where...
You
where,
can.
We can. I'm not saying you don't. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't right. because you're not a called worker. I am saying that in my walk in faith, that that time, I wasn't thinking whether or not God... I wasn't thinking what God wanted at all. I didn't, to be honest with you,
like, I need an internship. Anyone to graduate. Yeah.
To be honest, I wasn't thinking of God. I was just thinking of like, okay, where am I, you know, I guess I'm not going to conquer and I got to figure out what I'm doing with my life.
But I guess I also want to make sure we realize that God can put multiple good things in front of us. And so, like, you know, with a call process, like with mine, when I was called here, both calls were divine calls. Both calls were from God and the congregation to me to serve in that place. And so whether or not I took the call to Trinity or I returned the call to Trinity and stayed
Which
at Trinity,
they were both
Trinity. They were both Trinities. But whichever one I went with, God was going to bless that. Like I would be with the families that I connected with really well and be working with the youth there, and God would bless that. You know, often when we really hear about it in the secular world is with spouses. Like, oh, is this the one that God has chosen for me to marry? No, the one that you stand up to the altar and say, I do. Okay, that's the one that God has blessed now for you to marry. Now, don't just pick a random person off the street and say, I do.
Because compatibility is important.
It helps.
That might happen.
Common goals
but
and beliefs.
There's not that one person
so
90, out there.
90-day fiance? Is that what?
There's not that one person out there, and you have to do everything that you can to find that one person, or else God won't bless your marriage. No. And same with like jobs. Like you can, God might have multiple places where he could use you. And you pick a place and you let God use you there. And so, yes, there are some wrong decisions. There's some decisions that God doesn't want you to make. And you can pray about those, but you know, like colleges or spouses or things like that, there might be multiple right decisions. So pray about it and see if God closes doors. I mean, that's typically where when I work with people who are working through these processes, just, you know, God be obvious to me. Or once you kind of think you're headed in the right the direction that you think is God's will, the prayer is, you know, God, this is where I think you're leading me. If this is not the right direction, close this door. Because we can get so caught up in trying to make the one right decision that we freeze. Mm-hmm. And we don't do anything. And that's
I call that paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, and that's where it's so easy to, like, as church people, not do anything. And we'll talk more about that this coming week. But to just not do anything because we might not do the one perfect thing that God has prepared in advance.
Well, yeah, and how many times are we like, I just want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do what God doesn't want me to do. Anytime you sin, you're doing something God doesn't want you to do. So even
laziness is a sin. So just go do something.
Well, and suppose
go
you
be
make
the armpit for Jesus.
But I don't know how to come off of that. But even if you quote unquote make the wrong decision, God can still work through wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Like don't think of yourself so highly that you are the one that will destroy God's plan. God made the universe. His plan to everything didn't hinge on one decision you made.
Yeah, and I guess my point of my story, because at the time I wasn't really, I had faith, but I wasn't really connected with a relationship. The relationship, I wasn't there. The problem was is that I guess I'm going through all this motion of doing all that. Now, in hindsight, I can look back and go, look at all the pieces that God put in place to get me where I am today because of that one internship closing. Suddenly, all these doors opened up, but not realizing I was walking through doors. But it would have been nice if I had a church family back then that somebody could sit down with me and go, we really should pray about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, when I, you know, what I said earlier about there might be I'm not saying don't pray and just go do whatever.
I think what you're saying is do something. But even that small thing of sitting down with somebody who maybe doesn't have faith and go, hey, listen, let's just take a couple minutes and do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be impactful.
And I'm not saying that suddenly they're going to be like, oh, well, now I'm a Jesus freak. I know, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's the reason I said it.
Paul's hitting random buttons over there
with a bottle cap.
Yeah. But the main thing is that in that moment, I probably, because of all the stuff going on and me going, I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. I have to do this. It would have been nice to be able to have a family, which I think is why we also talk about why it's so important to have a church family to go to.
Yep.
And be able to go to that individual, to anybody in the church, and just say, I don't know what's going on. Can we pray about this or whatever?
Yeah. Will you pray? Like, and to have a group of people praying for you.
Yeah.
And
it's, even if it's discernment, like just give me a clear indication what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I don't think I had that. To be honest with you, I think I was so blind. I think God just said, you know, I'm shutting all the doors. You're just going this way.
Yeah. And there are times that God does that. Just, you know what? I need you to go this way. And so I'm going to make it impossible for you to go any other.
Yeah.
Even if I have to drag you kicking and screaming.
Yeah, you're going to Osawatomie.
Yeah. Kansas. You're going to Osawatomie.
I don't want to go to Osawatomie, Kansas. I have nothing. Doesn't matter. You will go. I do when in hindsight, because hindsight's 2020 or 2010, as Gerber would say. In my life, I was literally isolated from everybody I knew. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that, I do know for a fact that actually changed who I am today, because I got away from everybody. Because I go back to the individuals who did not do anything different, and they're the exact same people I knew versus high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I've changed.
Well, and there is something about being in those places. Like, my parents have moved a couple houses since from the house that I grew up in. But, you know, when I was in college, you know, I'd be kind of different with the friends because I've been around those friends, and but then I go back home and I'd be like, oh, I feel like I'm back in those same things, the same friendships, which good friendships, I'm not saying it's bad, but like some of the habits that I got in high school is like, those just automatically pop up, whatever it was. And so getting away from that can be incredible.
Yeah.
Or it can be bad. Like, if you're like, you know, if you have good habits and you get out of those habits because you get into a different cycle or a different place, like, sometimes it's tough to rebuild those good habits. Yeah.
Never mind. Well, I know. Habits.
Anyways,
the point is that we're talking, next week we'll talk a little bit more about doing something.
Yeah.
But even the small thing as Christians, to be able to sit down with somebody who's going through, and it could be just like, what college should I go to? What job should I take? What bride I should, you know, out of all the brands I have to choose from.
Yeah. Which of these?
Which groom?
Out of all the 90 Day Fiancé stories we have. Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, in order to get married in the Lutheran Church, I'm assuming, I know I had to. You have to sit down with the pastor and go through premarital counseling.
Yeah, we do premarital counseling.
And I think part of that is so you're kind of in the same page as a couple going into. It's like, hey, listen, you're doing a marriage and you're creating a bond and an oath under God. What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like asking the question, why do you want to get married?
Because it gives me tax benefits.
Because he makes.
Because I like her.
Because
I like her a lot.
She makes me happy. Okay.
She like that. We both had the favorite TV show, the same. And I knew she was the one.
Yeah. She makes peanut butter and chocolate cookies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if
you married me for this hat.
No, I didn't. It was the hat and the Italia jacket combo. That's what it was.
Is what it was.
Yeah. That's when I saw her across the room and went, yep.
On that note, why did you marry your spouse if you have a spouse? Okay, it is an hour into it.
There you go. Okay, goodbye.
Zip my lips.
Yeah, no, we got to say some prayer. And don't forget, whoever's praying, it's not me. Don't forget to pray for Lacey and all the other individuals out there in the world.
All people. All people by name.
If you don't pray correctly, you're going to ruin God's plan.
Yep, it's all on whoever prays tonight.
Too much pressure.
I'm starting to think we shift it back to Paul.
That's a bad idea. I'm
muted. Oh, God, am I praying?
Yeah.
All right.
No pressure.
No pressure.
There really is none.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together tonight, Lord. And I thank you that no matter what we do and what we think and say, Lord, that your will prevails. And sometimes I cling to that with more hope and comfort than others. But Lord, I know that that's always true. Your will always prevail, and your will is always the best. We pray for Lacey tonight, Lord, and just ask for quick healing for her. May she get the rest that she needs, and may this be a time for restoration for her to know that she shouldn't do anything else but to just rest and maybe have a time, some good time with you and your word and prayer and with her family too, as they're all sitting and helping her, Lord. We just ask that she would make a quick recovery and be able to come back with us soon. We thank you for all of our listeners and our support system that we have around us, Lord. Thank you for the life and the truth and the support that they are for us, Lord. And we also pray for Casey as he continues to
to liberate the call to be DCE at Trinity. And Lord, just make your will obvious. Confirm to him the direction that you would like him to go right now. And also confirm that within Tara too, that they can be on the same page together and excited about where you are leading them next. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Next week, right?
Next week. Yes, it's the start of school.
Oh, yep.
It's the night before school.
Yep.
But it's still the start of school. It's still a school night.
Yes.
Prep begins the night before.
Yes. Right. So we're going to be moving the time to 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we'll still be here on Tuesday evenings, but it'll be 6 o'clock.
If you watch it live, if you watch it recorded later, this changes nothing.
It's definitely
going
to be too late and you listen to it during your bedtime. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do 6 p.m. Same. We'll probably, I realize since we've done our podcast dinners, we have not talked nearly as much about food. So I have a feeling at 6 o'clock when we're hungry, if we have not eaten before that, more food conversations will come back into the podcast.
Did you call a podner?
Podner. That's what I write in my dinner. Podcast dinner. Podner. Ner. That's what I write on my calendar.
That's not what I call
and
it.
And on my to-do list.
I don't call it partner.
Okay.
Okay,
hey, howdy, podner.
See, that's sort of the Midwest and the Boston side mix.
There you go.
Podner. Yeah, so we're going to be here next week, 6 o'clock, because of school.
Those
kids to bed.
Those kids. See, the kids don't like to, they don't like to go home after we're done. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, they don't. And then when they get home, then they don't like to do the bedtime routine. So
school.
Yeah,
school. Any other announcements? We have a back to school night on the 9th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the Trinity School.
Oh, yeah.
That's on the 9th, Monday the 9th.
On the
9th. But then community one.
Mm-hmm. August 15th. We say it starts at noon, but it'll officially kick off as soon as late service wraps up. So
that's going to be, he's going to speak extra long that day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are lots going on there that day. And one of the things going on is we give Bibles to our third graders. So if you have a third grader, if you're in the Fremont area, and would love to get your third grader a Bible, reach out to me.
And you don't have to be a Trinity member or part of the school.
No.
Just any third grader.
We want people to have Bible. But we need to know because we like to write in the Bible. We like pray over those Bibles. So you cannot just show up on the 15th and say, where'd my Bible? Because I'll say, not here. But I'll get you one.
From the pew that does not look like the rest of them.
Yes.
As in pew talk.
We'd love to be able to bless your family with that. So that you can read God's word in your home, but let us know ahead of time.
Yeah. Any other announcements? Casey, yeah, anything you want to announce right now?
You sure?
For tonight, I have nothing.
Okay.
I can tell you through many different avenues, God is making it very obvious and it's very exciting.
No pressure. Here.
You're moving to
Why
Hawaii?
Don't you like?
Yeah, that was it. No.
Yeah.
No, I was going to put that like, you're going to bleep him out so he'll... And then,
there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, that made you sound like you were swearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you have any announcements this week?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I know. All right. All right. Anyways. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I think it's time to go.
Peace out, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782. Or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.